It says in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it says, having done all to stand, stand firm. Father, we stand on the conviction that you have an amazing purpose that's unfolding every day, even as I speak. We look to you, Lord Jesus, with confidence. We draw near to your throne of confidence, with confidence, the throne of grace. We obtain mercy. We obtain direction. We obtain guidance because you said so many times in your word that you would lead us and guide us with your eye upon us. We pray because you said your ear is inclined to the prayer of the upright. We gather because you told us not to forsake assembling. We pray for healing because we know you to be the Lord that heals us and takes away our sickness. We preach the gospel because, in fact, it is good news and you commanded us to go into all the world and proclaim it. And by all means possible, Lord, we ask that you translate our lives in order that we would show forth the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness. Strip the religiosity out of us. Help us to stay fresh, real, and current. Use us, Lord, to be a vibrant expression of the kingdom where people remember Jesus. They see Jesus in us as we do our work, as we do our studies, as we cope with life and deal with struggles and forgive and all the stuff you call us to do. Help us to do it with a tenacity and a panache that's just pleasing to you, God. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Listen, Theodore Roosevelt said, it's not the critic who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man or woman who is actually in the arena, who at best knows in the end the triumph of great achievement, and who, at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place will never be with those cold, timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. You know, I like that quote, and I like the inspiration of it, because God has called us to grow stronger and stronger and to press on. And Paul the Apostle even said, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I reach forward to what lies ahead. Press on is the nature and the call I think that's really good to embrace. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 6 and Ephesians chapter 3. Paul the Apostle writes to the church he founded. He pastored it for 3 years. He turned it over to Timothy, his protege. And he's praying for these people. These were highly effective people. They came out of paganism and idolatry. And they came into an awareness of Jesus. And they became, if you look in history, a very fruitful group of people. God's called us to bear significant fruit and make a difference in the world. Jesus is the one that causes us and drives us and urges us forward and has actually called us into this fruitfulness. In fact, the Bible says that we are the branches, he's the vine, and that if we abide in him, rely on him, connect with him, fellowship with him, stay in tune and in touch with him, you know, by his word, by prayer, by worship, by spending time together as a church, by going out and walking in service and caring for other people, sharing the gospel. It's all those types of responses to him. It causes a flow which increases fruitfulness. God's called us to bear fruit and to have stamina and to have endurance. Ephesians chapter 6, 2007 is the year of strength here at Family Church. This is the theme that God's downloaded here. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, out of weakness they were made strong. The Bible says here in Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Paul the Apostle understood this because he was beaten down and filled with challenge, and he said he would even boast about his weakness so that the power and blessing of God would be in his life. So this is not a human strength. This is not some sort of feigning and putting on something. It's drawing from the strength that God supplies. Ephesians 3, verse 14, 15, and 16 shows a prayer that Paul prayed. He prayed for this group of people, and here's how he prayed. He said, for this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. Verse 16, look at this. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Man, ever since I was a teenager, for some reason that verse has had such a striking impact on me. I think it's a hope-filled, encouraging verse. Here's why. Because we could actually pray that he would strengthen us with His might and His power by His Spirit in what's called the inner man. We are a spirit being and we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. So this has nothing to do with bench presses. It has nothing to do with intellectual prowess. It has something to do with being strong in relationship to God, in His Word, in His Spirit. And it gives me hope because He's praying this for people so we could pray this for people. He's praying this for a church. I'm praying this for our church. He's praying this for people. I'm a person. I'm believing God to be strengthened with might and power by His Spirit in the inner man. There are plenty of things that have tried to weaken us and chip away at our strength. But we know the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Exodus 15:2 in the New Living Translation, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise Him. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Romans 8:37 says that He's made us more than conquerors. So as I share this to you, and I talk about strength, it's not some sort of unattainable ideal. In fact, God is strong. He's made His arms strong. There's so many verses that show how powerful God is. He is the most powerful being in the universe ever has been, ever will be. And He's poured out His power by His Holy Spirit. He's poured out His power by His Word. He's poured out His power for us to pray and enjoy it. And He says, be strong in the Lord. God's called us to renew our spiritual capacities with Him. And I think this is a good time to talk about this right now. I think it's really appropriate that we as a church get stronger and stronger. There's an old song, one of the choruses from the 70s, as I wait upon the Lord, I get stronger. As I wait upon the Lord, I get stronger every day. In a few minutes, we'll look at where that reference is in Isaiah 40, classic verses at the end of the chapter about how as we draw near to God, He'll draw near to us. And I know there is spiritual activity going on in this place. I know some things because I read it in the Bible. Where two or more are gathered in His name, there He is in our midst. Jesus is here, healing bodies, bringing conviction, granting repentance, rescuing people. This is a place where people get rescued, and I've heard several occasions. People getting rescued from crystal methamphetamine addiction, people getting set free from pornography, people getting set free from all kinds of things that are just seizing them and gripping them. Jesus, you know, it's for freedom that Christ set us free. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You know, He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with Him. And He came to destroy the work of the devil. And He is super powerful. Now, last night I came here to pray. And I remember trying to press in to draw near to God. And it was like one thing after another just kept sabotaging my drawing near to God. My phone rang. Then as soon as I started to get ready to pray, I mean, I tried to pray here. I walked around and prayed over there. I laid out on the chairs over there. I knelt over there. I knelt over there. I knelt over there. It was so contested. The enemy does not want us to draw near to God because, in fact, as we do, He draws near to us. Think of what would happen if our spiritual fellowship increased, if our connection with God and our fellowshipping with God improved. Think of what would happen if we started desiring earnestly spiritual gifts and started trusting God. The Bible says that when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, the Bible says you'll be filled. What would that look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? To have that blessing come upon us and overtake us? What would that be like if our tired, worn out devotion got resurged into a place of more vibrancy and more consistent connection with the Lord, where we were in this place where we were drawing near to Him and He was drawing near in a greater way to us? I'd like to see what happens. I'd like to see what it looks like. In fact, I want to turn back to Isaiah 40 and we'll just look at this for a minute because it tells of some things that happen when you draw near to God and as you press in. I like the idea of every person in this church getting stronger and stronger. The reason Paul didn't just pray that for Timothy or for the elders, but he prayed it for the whole church. And in fact, it's actually for all the body of Christ throughout the ages. It's because God wants every one of us humming. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Ephesians 4:16 says it's a proper working of each individual part that causes the growth of the body and the building up of itself in love. There was a concert with Danny Liston, but it wasn't just Danny. It was also the bass player. and his five-string bass. It was also the drummer who had practiced and knew the songs. It was also the keyboard guy who had a Hammond B3 deal and a Roland piano sound and all this electric stuff. And all together, it just came out in this harmonious. You could isolate it, and the bass line sounded good, the drum sounded good, the piano sounded good, the singing sounded good. But together, it was a band. And that's the church. That's the beauty of all of us recognizing we've all got a part. That's where we know it's not spectator thing where just a few, you know, like a football arena where there are 12 people in desperate need of a break being watched by 60,000 people in a desperate need of exercise. But God's called the whole body. Everybody say, all of us.
All of us.
Including me.
Including me.
It's the proper working of each part. So when God says, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might, it is attainable. It is doable. It does have verifiers. It does have quantifiers. And we actually can be strong in the Lord. We can develop spiritual muscle. Now, before we read Isaiah 40, the two components that create strength are resistance and protein. The nutritionists will tell you that muscle fiber is built, lean muscle mass is built by protein. You have to have protein intake, but you also have to have resistance. Now, let me tell you something. This world has plenty of resistance. The people that do the space shuttle and go out there and do the thing out in the spacewalks and stuff, they say they lose so much bone density and so much muscle mass just in a short period of time because they break out of the gravitational pull of the Earth. So they've got to do isometric exercises up there to keep the tone of the muscles. Well, we don't have that problem. We're down here dealing with gravity. Just look in the mirror. Just feel it, man. Gravity, pressure, resistance. Did you guys notice life has challenges? I want to say it like this. Whoa. It is clearly a fractured world. Just driving through New Orleans and seeing acres and miles and streets of people that gutted empty housing. Just what that represents in terms of human suffering. 250-mile stretch of shoreline from Mississippi to New Orleans and to Louisiana of loss, of heartache, of disorientation. And just to get in the cavernous vacuum of that, like one girl said, I feel like I'm moving in slow motion, one of our girls on our team. It's inherently just unsettling. You step in there and your mind just focuses on mid-range and then you get numbed out. Did you ever notice raising kids can numb you out? Marriage, sometimes you're trying to struggle and interacting with your mate, and sometimes you hit a pocket where you're missing more than you're hitting, and it's like, and you know, you just, things creep up on you, financial stresses. You know, some lady stopped me and said, I just had a lumpectomy, pray for me, you know, another. We're dealing with the stuff in this fallen world. And in fact, Jesus said in John 16:33, said, I've spoken these things to you so that in me you might have peace. He said, in the world you have tribulation and trouble and trial, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then it says in 1 John, who has overcome the world but he that believes Jesus is the Son of God. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Somebody had faith and trusted God. People were crying out to God down there, lost all their furniture. And I've seen it. I pulled out that furniture, all rotted, beautiful, nice, one-time nice stuff, waterlogged and ruined. But now they prayed, they cried out to God, and we're actually matching and bringing in the answer to prayer and bringing strength back where there was weakness. Out of weakness, they're made strong. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. One time I was, along with Patsy, chaperoning a famous preacher who came into town. Wonderful, still is awesome. Major preacher. And we were in the car together, and we were hosting them and had hosted them several times in several years in a row. This was a hero to me. And I asked him, I said, hey, have you ever been depressed? And they said, depressed? Never. And I adjusted my rearview mirror and I said, now come on, man. Have you ever just been depressed? And he said, no, never. And finally I said, look, you know, and I don't know if it was because of the context and he just didn't really want to talk, but I wished he had just said, oh yeah. They finally did start to name some of the things they went through. For example, they had a vision for a nation and they would preach in this nation and a riot broke out and it caused so much difficulty and riot that the government banned them from ever coming back and they were not able to go back to that country. They had four kids and they had to bury three, stuff like that. So they finally started to admit that they had had trouble. Now, they're from the old kind of era where you just put on a stiff upper lip and kind of just... But see, I think the Bible doesn't do that. The Bible shows the down-sitting and the uprising of the people of God. It shows David dancing unto the Lord and taking the Philistines and slaying Goliath. And it also shows him in times of hardship and difficulty, repentance and change. And it shows the fuller spectrum of life. Jesus comes into our world and he says, look, out of weakness, I'm going to make you strong. And all the praise, honor, and glory is going to end up being attributable to him. Because we're not going to have a boast except our boast is in the Lord. That's what Paul said. I most gladly boast in my weakness because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Not in our strength, not in human power. Our world is filled with this self-actualization, self-help thing. And I appreciate parts of it. But ultimately, we can't pull ourselves out of the sin hole that we fell into. We can't redeem ourselves. We need a Savior. We can't empower ourselves either. We need strengthening of might and power by His Spirit in the inner man. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, and it parallels perfectly with Isaiah 40. Let's finish with these two. We're going to look at these verses, and I've got one in Hebrews. Let's go into Matthew 11, 28, and then Isaiah 40. I'm going to show you how to get strengthened. David strengthened himself in the Lord. David understood. He got abandoned by everybody. He had no encourager around him. But he learned how to just flat out encourage himself in the Lord. Matthew 11, 28, it says, come to me, Jesus is talking, all who are weary and heavy laden. Everybody say weary. And say heavy laden. Have you ever been there? Do you know that it's easy to become weary and fatigued? Do you know fatigue is a plague in Western civilization right now? The more sophisticated our stuff becomes, it doesn't make life easier. It seems to be more complex. And there's so much weariness and heavy laden. But Jesus said, if you come to me, I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly of heart. You'll find rest for your souls. Good news. Look at Isaiah chapter 40 now. Let's go back to it. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. We can trust in Him and rely on Him to strengthen us. We could trust Him to meet our needs. We could trust Him to bring healing to our bodies. God is faithful. He is faithful. He's with us in trouble. He knows our down-sitting and our uprising. He is an ever-present help in time of need. Where are you, God? He's right there. David said, if I make my bed in hell, He's there. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because You are with me. He must have known that He is Emmanuel, God with us. He's with you in trouble. He's with you in breakthrough. He's with you. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Go figure. God is near us. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40, verse 27 says, why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? It's an interesting mouthful, but what Jacob is really complaining about is, God doesn't notice me. God doesn't see what's going on. God doesn't care. God's indifferent. He doesn't see my deal. He's not helping me out. And so Isaiah is prophesying by the Holy Spirit. Why are you saying that? Why are you saying that God's not seeing your deal? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. Who does he increase power for? Him who lacks might. Who would that be? All of us. What is he wanting to do? He's wanting to increase power in your life. I believe we're going into a new level of strength. I believe as we pray, He'll strengthen us with might and power by His Spirit in the inner man. I'm inviting Him and asking Him to strengthen my perception of the vision He has for us as a congregation. I'm believing God for strength as a husband, as a dad, as a pastor, all the things I'm supposed to do. I pray strength on you for all the things you're supposed to do. He'll strengthen you through your trial. He'll be with you through your trouble. I'm fascinated. I watch people go through stuff. When I stand and I watch and I think, I don't have the grace to deal with it because I'm not in it. But I watch Him grace you out and I get super edified by watching you endure and persevere. It's amazing the strength that God supplies. God meets all of our needs, not some of them. And it says here, he never gets weary or tired. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Man, I love that. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Everybody say renewed strength. Renewed strength. One translation says, they that wait upon the Lord shall change their strength. I heard somebody say they will trade their inferior human strength for his superior God strength. The things God has called you and me to are supernatural. They're beyond human ability. In fact, I don't understand anything less than supernatural call. God's called us to change the world. How are we going to do that? God's called us to have the audacity to go into a tsunami or a hurricane or deal with somebody who's addicted to drugs or deal with somebody who's skewed in their thinking or paralyzed with fear. We know God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, so we address that. We know that God meets all of our needs, so we're willing to step in and trust God for something big to come to pass. I think about Fred. I saw him over there with his wife. He stepped up and spoke up about Service International. He was the catalyst. God used his business position in the midst of his context, and he turned into an amazing minister of the gospel through that one moment. And God brought it all through. Now, we kind of lose it on that because it's so way out there. But I'm convinced that we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. I'm convinced that one of the most amazing things present in this room right now is potential. I think that the atmosphere is saturated with phenomenal potential, where it's beyond what we've even estimated. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. Why? Because of his extraordinary supernatural nature. God cannot even be comprehended in our own finite thinking. But we have a Bible that we could read and see how he is so vastly great and so phenomenal. And as we look to him and as we draw near to him and as we wait upon him, he will do something called renew our strength. Last night, I had such a hard time praying. But finally, God helped me. He even helped me motivate me to just not quit and go home and go to bed. I was tired from being down in Katrina all week. And I could have justified it, but I had this thing called church. I needed to be effective for you guys and give you some, said, feed my sheep. I better be effective tomorrow morning. And I know that I'm not going to be effective by coming up with a good idea and reading some quotes out of Reader's Digest. I'm quoting the word because faith comes by hearing the word. You'll gain new strength. Sounds good, doesn't it? Who could use it? You know, I've been through some dark times. I went through a depression a couple years ago that was just cavernous. And it got to a point where I couldn't even put my sentences together. I was in a staff meeting and they were asking me questions and I started to respond and what I said didn't make sense from my head to my mouth. And I realized I was in trouble. I needed to pull back. So I took some weeks off and just basically sat there. I was no good company. I was like, and God walked me through it. I let my soul get worn slick, but God helped me. I hardly could even pray. I just kind of sat there. And God, he's so good. Everybody say, God is good. And he walked me through it. And I just now look back and I think, thank you, Jesus, for pulling me out of the pit. I relate to those verses, he redeems your life from the pit. Boy, I remember when I was a teenager, I got skewed and things went weird for a while. And I remember I went home one day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I stayed in bed all night into the next day. I couldn't eat. I didn't know what that was. I had nobody to talk to, and I was out of fellowship with God because I backslid, and I was out of church. And so I just laid there. I remember my mouth, how my mouth felt. And it was like it just sealed shut, and I just laid there. But now God's helped me. I'm not doing that anymore, except for the purposes of this message, illustration. I remember after I came through it, I was so thankful because when I was in it, I didn't think I'd come out of it. God delivered me. He is your deliverer. He's near the brokenhearted. You don't have to pretend to be strong. We don't have to put on, hey. That's why it troubled me when that guy said, hey, we don't get to prep. No, I relate better to the biblical biography of the downsitting and the uprising of the people of God. They're not giving a lot of praise to the enemy for all their defeat. They're living in victory, but the victory is only contrasted by the fact that they came through troubles. the David slew Goliath thing is a great story because there was a context where the Goliath looked like they were going to win over. The parting of the Red Sea is great because it looked like it was a hopeless moment in the history of Israel. But now God turned a hopeless thing around and opened up a door and made things better. They that wait upon the Lord, what will happen to them? They'll gain something. I want to see, as a pastor, just like I think Paul when he prayed for Ephesians, that your gain is evident. I want to see you guys gain ground. There are things, in fact, God wants us to just press on in for people that aren't even here yet. Some of the most impactful mentors in my life, they got the calling and were serving God way before I was even born. And when it came time for them to finally do their highest life's work, it was to people that weren't even around when they were going through all the sweat equity trials and challenges of the beginning. Don't despise the day of small things. Don't ridicule your personal situation and your walk right now. Take hold of where you're at. Take hold of Isaiah 40. Take hold of Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden. Lay your cares on the altar and watch him sustain you. Watch him bring you through this present situation. There's some people in here. It's easy for me to say this, but for you, you need to hear it. The reason it's easy for me to say this is generally we're all going through some kind of thing. But some of you have gotten in a locked up deal that's a little bit different than you've ever had before. And I want to just tell you there's hope for you even in that. I mean, I've been in situations where it was manageable in the internal recesses of my life and my thinking. And God will help me get out of this. I get some resolve. I'll believe God. I'll press on. I'll trust him. Stand on his promises. Then there have been some times where it's like, whoa, this is a little bit gigantic. And even in those gradations, Jacob and Israel, they were saying, God doesn't hear. God, I'm going unnoticed. He even got to the point where he thought that God wasn't even paying any attention to him. But yet, you know what? Even last night when I was praying, I thought, how am I even going to access? How am I going to break through this? I feel so dull. But yet, you know what? Everybody was gone. Got late. It was getting later. Patsy had brought a hamburger to me. I ate about half of it, threw the rest of it away. I came in here and I laid down and I started to pray and God came through. And you guys know what I'm talking about when that happens? And I don't mean it was like, ooh, you know, it was just this little nudge of hallelujah. I mean, it was as huge as if Jesus walked through the wall like with Thomas. Because it was just this little spiritual, thank you, God. I got so excited about it. I got up early this morning, and I went outside, and I paced around outside because the weather's so nice. And as I was pacing, it happened again. He says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The devil wants you to spend all your time screaming at him, acknowledging him, in your prayer life, spending 90% of your time rebuking devils and demons. But actually, that's not biblical. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. The Bible says, submit therefore to God. Then it says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Then it says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. So it's sandwiched in the context of commit to God and seek God and draw near to God. And oh, by the way, the devil's going to get dealt with in the context of you and I waiting upon the Lord, drawing near to God. You'll gain new strength. You'll gain strength for this trial, even though the trial's protracted sometimes. Even though sometimes it goes on, and we wonder, when is this thing going to change? I was idealistic as a young Christian, and I learned truths about God that are true, but I assumed that I just believed God for him, and in 10 or 15 minutes, it would all change. And it didn't always go that way. Sometimes timing was different than what I had hoped for. In fact, I got into some things where there was a 5-year battle, and then I had some 7-year battle. Then I actually had some 20-year things. There were things God spoke to my heart, for example, for the church, that I just almost forgot about because they just never happened. And I meandered through all kinds of stuff. And finally, God had to remind me, you know that you were praying about this 20 years ago? I was like, I was? Yeah, I'm bringing it to pass now. You might want to get ready for it. So I'm glad he didn't forget. There are visions and dreams that God has birthed that will come to pass. If you and I do not grow weary in well-doing, then in due time we will reap if we faint not. My heroes, I got some pictures, portraits in my back room as my little ready room. As I get a little bitty kind of closet room back there, I get ready to come for church. And there are pictures of people who endured through the ages and who did not quit. And they represent, one for every one of those guys, there were about 30 that came and went. And I wonder how many Abraham Lincoln potentials there were that we've never known the name of or ever heard, because in the 9th or 10th or 15th battle, they finally gave up. I like it that he just got up one more time than he fell. This is what I'm saying about believers. This is what Caleb and Joshua, I get a kick out of them. They said, as my strength was then, so my strength is now. God helped me when I was 40. He's helping me in my 80s. That's why I like coming to church here. I watch the young people down there working, getting really tired. The Koala kids are five of them, two girls and three guys. They came in last night and I looked in the eye. They were tired. Now the Bible says the glory of young men is their strength. I watch those guys work and they're half my age and they got twice the energy. And I just watch them and I'm thinking, stupid AARP letter I got. And I don't need my Geritol. And youth is wasted on the young. But anyway, you know, I had my attitude. I sounded like Mr. Wilson next door with Dennis, you know, murmuring and grumbling and everything. These kids are now just strength and vigor. Now, anyway, they were even tired. Young men, it says here that though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those, it's a certain breed, that know how to strengthen themselves in the Lord. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Man, you're doing it right now, showing up at church. You could have slept in, could have justified that, but you're somehow committing to consistency because you know the benefit of fellowshipping and staying connected. We need each other. You know, it's not church attendance. Hey, I'm making my social scene. It's social, but it's also a biblical call. He said, don't forsake the assembling together, which is the habit of some. It can become a habit forming to just say, justify reasons not to go to church. There are probably millions of people in the United States that are detached from being plugged into the value of being in an environment of consistency and fellowship and connection with other believers. But you guys are making the right call. This is part of how we draw near to God. Private time alone with God. We're drawing near to God. What happens? We obtain fresh strength for each new length. We attain new heights in lofty flights. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. We maintain the pace throughout the race. We sustain the load along the road. And we get a glide in our stride. And we get a pep in our step. Come on, I'm freestyling. What's another one? Like I'm MC Jeff, Pastor Jeff. Let's all stand up. I'm going to believe God to move forward in the will of God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the reason I speak in tongues is because it's biblical and the Bible says it builds you up. Don't be put off by that. In The Economist here, the real message of this article is that the Spirit-filled movement is defining whole nations now. People are being baptized in the Holy Spirit, not just third world, and it's also it says Pentecostalism is not only burning through the cities of the dispossessed, it is also consuming the elites of the developing world. A phenomenon has taken place, and I've been tracking this. The business leadership in China, the financiers and the emerging leaders are getting Spirit-filled. God is doing a reformation right before our eyes. It's an untold story, but God is moving in a mighty, 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 mighty way. And He's showing His mighty arm. And I want to just say this as we get ready to go. Listen, He redeems our life from the pit. I don't want to trivialize one trouble in this. I'm a pastor, and my drive is to lead and feed. God has called me to minister the word to you. The enemy fights me so hard in the primary area of my responsibility. He'll get me doing a million other things, and he'll try to do that with all of us. And I don't like New Year's resolutions because I think you can set yourself up for failure. But I do think we need to drive a stake in the ground and trust God to cause us to move forward and grow in Him. The Bible says we're to grow up in Him in all aspects. And you're never going to hear me say, oh, I long for the other day, the past days. I don't idealize my past. I don't want to be that old Jeff Perry. I want to be the current Jeff Perry that's really in tune with the Lord Jesus, that's filled with the Holy Spirit, hating sin, keeping a repentant heart, walking with God, pressing forward, living in victory. What do I want for our church? I want it to be what God wants it to be. I'm not comparing it with another place. I never have. I'm not going to. I don't need to start now. I don't obsess on church growth books. I don't think I've ever read one all the way through. I looked at a couple, but I don't think I need to start now. I just need to just keep my eyes on Jesus and trust Him to do His thing. Plus, you guys keep having babies just in and of itself. That's causing church growth right here. We double almost the way you guys are cranking out babies. But what are we going to do? We're going to trust God in these trials we're facing. Some of you are overcoming some pretty major things right now. But notice I said you are overcoming because you are overcomers. And I mean, I know one guy, his dad died, and it was a sudden thing, and he's inherited all this work, he and his brother, and he's just incredible. But I know God is going to sustain you. You got a praying wife, you're committed, you got a tender heart, you're a servant, you're a giver. God is going to see you through. I know people in here, you battle disease, you're trying to wrap your head around this how to receive healing from God deal. Well, just keep wrapping your head around this. He is the healer, and you can trust him, and don't entertain a bunch of unbelief. That's it. That's the last verse I had. Thank you for helping me, God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Everybody say, get strong in the Lord. It says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. The other day I was talking to Patsy, and she looked at me and she said, oh, you're in unbelief. And she walked away. I said, wait a minute. I said, I'm not in unbelief. I said, it might be doubt, but it's not unbelief. She said, no, it's unbelief. I know, because I was in it the other day and I could see it. She went in to make coffee. It's like, hey, wait a minute. We're going to fight here. You come back here. But I like what it says. It says, take care, see to it, that brethren, it's talking to Christians, it's not talking to the unbelievers, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Here's what I think God's saying to us today. He wants to strengthen us. There's already a lot of resistance. It's like we're bench pressing, but we need to keep that protein, that we need to keep holding to the milk of the word and the meat of the word, like just stay filled. You say, how do I do that? Well, that's why we put the Bible reading chart together. That's why I put these sermons out. That's why, listen, we'll put all this stuff on the iPod and you could download it free. I mean, we'll do podcasts like crazy. We'll just get it out. I'll get the word out. That's all we've been doing anyway. Just get the word in you and it's going to develop a life of its own. It's going to retool our thinking. It's going to get our eyes on Jesus. It's going to make us biblically effective in the world. It's going to help us overcome the crazy vicissitudes of life. You know what a vicissitude is? I don't either, but man, whatever it is, I don't want to be overwhelmed by them. Because this world's crazy. It's crazy. And our flesh is nutty. So we don't want to walk in the flesh and just yield to our whims and appetites and impulses. We want to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. What does 2007 look like? I'm believing God it's going to be a year of strength. And I'm not saying it gimmicky and try to be schmaltzy. I don't believe in that stuff. I've never done this before. But I feel like we need to stake our claim and trust God that we're going to grow in strength and grow in the confidence in God. And those of you that are dealing with depression right now, which I could relate to it. Somebody asked me the other day, do you deal with anxiety and panic? I said, no, but I've dealt with those dark, low points, you know. You say, why would you confess that? Why would you admit that? You're Pastor Jeff. You're supposed to eat bullets for breakfast and be 10 feet tall and bulletproof. We need God. Yeah. Our church needs God. Hey, we're so out there, we've got to have God. Yeah. We're out there, man. We're not in some little cushy comfort zone. We're stretching way beyond our own human power. That's why we need God's strength. You guys have signed up to serve Jesus, and you've never seen him. You're in a world that is bitterly mocking the Bible and everything we believe. You're in a world that, even in the church, I don't believe in healing. Oh, I don't believe God wants everybody saved. You get all kinds of theological hair splitting and all kinds of stuff. It's like, wah! Cults everywhere, all kinds of wacky stuff. It's like, God, I need the strength that you supply. Go in this your strength. And the Lord looked at him. This is in Judges 6:14. And said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of the Midian. Have I not sent you? That's it. It's Gideon, the reluctant warrior, the guy who said, who had insecurity and inferiority complex. It was profound, probably more than most. And the angel said, you're going to be the deliverer. You're going to help Israel. And he's saying, I'm the least in my father's house. I'm from the wrong side of the tracks. And then the angel goes, oh, valiant warrior. Look at somebody next to you and say, hey, oh, valiant warrior. Look back at somebody else and say, go in this your strength. This guy was confessing weakness. This guy was admitting all of his failings and all the frailties and all the fragility of his flesh and all of the ill-prepared kind of timings out of sync. He said, hey, God, if you really love us, how come we haven't had any miracles? How come we're being oppressed? If you really love us. I mean, he had an evil, unbelieving heart. And God goes, oh, valiant warrior. God's able to peel back all that stuff and decipher all that stuff. He's able to push back the depression. That's why we need to encourage one another. That's why we need to pray for each other. That's why Paul's praying that they would be strengthened with might and power by his Spirit. He knew how much pounding and pulverizing they were taking. Now, you just might be the catalytic person that's going to set somebody on track, that's going to set somebody else on track, whose whole family line is going to get saved, that's going to have a great impact in a far-reaching way. Now, Fred, I haven't even talked to him about this, and I keep referencing him, and he probably feels embarrassed that I'm doing it, but it illustrates a point. He spoke up at some meeting and said, hey, I know a group that will take these materials and utilize them properly. And went, well, all right. And then they tested us for a couple weeks, and Fred, for quality assurances, he showed up and worked as hard as anybody to make sure we were efficient. Well, we were, because we've been good at it, because you learn after a while. See, some of you are on-the-job training on some things. Some of you have been enrolled in the school of the Holy Spirit. You don't even know it. And God's getting you ready for stuff. You don't even have it all tied together yet. Last night I was praying and I got a little revelation of something I tried to do before that really didn't work out. And then I let it go and I thought I missed it. And then something else has popped up that made me realize that that probably was God, only it was out of timing and I didn't perceive it right. But then I stepped back and I got chilled. I went, whoa, you might be doing that. And I've been encouraged by that for the last few hours. Take care, brethren, that we don't allow any unbelieving evil heart to take place in our lives because of the deceitfulness of sin. Father, I pray if there's anybody here who's not a Christian, that they'll become one today. I pray if there are people in here who have not surrendered their life to Jesus, that you'd grant them repentance and they'd surrender. God, I pray if there's any miserable soul who's been backslidden or out of fellowship with God, that they will come back to the Lord. Even those who feel like they've seared their conscience with a branding iron and they're way out, I pray you grant them repentance, deliver them from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. I pray the rescue power of the Holy Spirit. I pray for people who have been worn slick by weird trials, that you'd reach in with your everlasting loving arm and bring and provide an impartation of the strength and the care that only you provide. How many of you have been in some close calls? Let me see your hands. You've been through some rough times. Your attitude got weird. You got hurt. You get offended by somebody and you just look at them and you're mad for like 14 months. You know, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. I'll tell you, one of the biggest miracles in the church is when you or I offend each other and then we have to overcome it and we forgive and we truly do. And it's unfeigned sincere love of the brethren. And we let the love of the brethren continue. It's another reason why I like this church. A lot of you didn't run off when you got hurt. A lot of you didn't run off when you got disappointed. You just said, oh, well, and you just hunkered down. I think, oh, well, is one of the most strengthening things we could say sometimes. Or you can go, what are you going to do? Say, oh, well. And then cast your cares on the Lord. He's God anyway. We're not. We're a bunch of people. We're a bunch of carbon-based units running around down here. But we have confidence that we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. How many of you want to be strengthened with God's power this year? To look like this time next year you were strengthened and you grew. Listen, I'm going to tell you, some of you in here, you faced off with some things. I was with a young lady this week. She faced off in the kind of like in the fire with some issues. She told me this is hard, but I watched her endure, persevere, and press through. And she's got a victory now under her belt. I know people that have been so close to disaster, and I've watched God just bring them right on through. Father, I pray for the people in here as I close that are depressed and dealing with darkness, that they would be rescued from the pit. I come against discouragement. I come against depression. I come against despondency, despair. We are crushed, but we're not despairing. We have hope, and I pray you help everybody through. I pray for a catapulting forward in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you guys.